What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of Wasted Attention. As you can see, I'm hovering over a telephone in a very awkward fashion. It's not good for my back or for my posture, but it's worth it because on this phone right here, I have Spirit Box on the phone. Hi, Spirit Box.
Hello. Hey. We are the from Canada.
Oh, no, it's... This is that
hard information.
This is that evil Canada that our media is always telling us about. So this is weird.
Oh, free healthcare.
In all seriousness, though, guys, we've got Courtney, the lead singer, and we've got Michael, the lead guitar player and husband on the line that are going to be talking to us for a little bit. So thanks for sharing some time with us, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. Basically, for those of you who do not know Spirit Box, they are a band that's been around for about a good 2 years that we know of, at least, because this band is a little bit cryptic in their socials and not really telling you a whole hell of a lot what's going on. So we went straight to the source so they can tell us absolutely everything that's going on with them. Guys, I'm going to ask you for the millionth time, explain the origins of this band and when you guys actually got started.
Take it away, Michael.
Yeah, sure. Basically, we started this band in 2016, like January 2016, we started writing. And it was a really long process to kind of write the EP, get it recorded, get it mastered. And we didn't come out with a song until October of 2017. So we basically left our old band and started right away on this and just tried to really make it exactly how we wanted it, and it took us a long time to get the first stuff out, but it's been a little while now. It's been since more than three years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like the first time that we weren't in, you know, someone else's band where we felt like, okay, well, we have to write a certain way or you know, do something that the fans are gonna like, that has ties to the current sound the band has, and it was the first time in a long time that we were able to just do whatever we wanted, so it was very fun, and it still is super fun.
That's awesome. Now, you guys are obviously in complete control of what's going on, and without naming anything in the past, you can just tell that this, what you guys are trying to do, it's coming across as very organic and not trying to fit a mold of something that already pre-existed. To be honest with you, listening to Spirit Box for the first time, there's not many other bands out there that have that unique style that you guys have, so you definitely are onto something.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, I think Michael's a great songwriter, and one thing I really liked about just watching, you know, because I've watched Michael's entire career as a musician. I've met him when he was 16 and he was just starting out playing guitar, and I just really like how he's become someone who isn't just focused on like flashy riffs and flashy technical playing, just shredding for the sake of shredding. I feel like there was a transition as he got older and wiser that he focused more on writing songs and writing interesting rhythms and stuff rather than just, you know, how fast can I play and how weird of noises can I make? And he still gets to do that and still have fun, but it's just as the person who's always been the vocalist who has to kind of go, oh God, what are these guys giving me to write lyrics over that will make sense? It's been such a relief to have him present me with songs that I feel like I can express myself in more, because I'm not just waiting for the next part to come.
Right. No, and it's the thing is I don't want to come across as that, oh, you know, I don't want to say the word poser, but okay, so I heard about you guys about maybe a year and a half ago and dug really deep into the self-titled. And before I talk to you guys tonight, I'm like, well, how can I really get my point across to show them where I'm trying to say that everything sounds organic? And I have to say, honestly, even though that it's a newer release, Bleach Bath pretty much to me kind of would, if someone came to me and said, hey, what does Spirit Box sound like? I would show them Bleach Bath before everything, because it has that,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it has that heaviness to it. It has the melodic hooks that are going to bring you in and still has the funky, squealy, solo-y kind of sound to it, too, that you were mentioning before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
I dig
it. That's great to hear.
Now,
I'm glad you like that song. Well, it's really long.
It is long.
Well, we listen to Tool, so I mean, we can handle long songs.
I don't know if you heard Jake, but he says we listen to Tool.
No,
so
what did he say?
He said we listen to Tool, so we can handle long songs.
Okay. Yeah, then that's nothing. That's like an interlude warm up song for you. Then 5 minutes.
Well, we just appreciated that it didn't take 8 minutes to get to the meat and potatoes of it, though. You know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know what I think it is? I think I do. Michael and I haven't done a lot of like media stuff in a while, so we don't really have like our talking points formed where we just like go to certain things. Like every time, that's why I really like doing podcasts, because I like how informal the podcast is. Like I just feel a lot more comfortable.
Oh, for sure.
You're just having a fun, you know, you're having a conversation that you'd have at a show. I met you at a show, you know.
Exactly.
I really like it, but.
Well, good.
We're still kind of in the mindset where it's kind of uncomfortable for us when people tell us all this nice stuff about our band, because we automatically go to be like self-deprecating about it.
Right.
No, I do think our music's interesting, and I think one of the reasons is I think a lot of the other, all the music that I'm attracted to and drawn to in like the metal world is not so like, has like that kind of generic, like, we are powerful, we will overcome type vibe. I like the more sad, lonely stuff, the darker, more sad stuff. So I think that's what I've been attracted to in metal music, and I think that kind of like comes through in our songs, probably, right, Michael? Like,
yeah,
I think our stuff's more, it's more moody, dare I say, emo.
No, you can't say that word. You can't say this word on that podcast. No.
No. It's cursed.
You're right. Well, and the thing too is the way that your lyrics come across, Courtney, is that it's not really a direct, oh, I can totally understand where she's coming from. It kind of leaves a lot to your own interpretation on things, where you could,
yeah,
you could take it for however you want it. Like you're feeling kind of shitty and, you know, you might want to listen to Perennial a little bit because you're like, okay, I'm kind of in this mood and I can identify with this. But then, I don't know, you guys are just, you're kind of like, how do I say this? Since you said emo, I don't even want to put that lump in there, but like, you're like a metal onion. You guys got a lot of layers, you know?
Metal onion. You're a that.
You're a metal onion.
Well, that's why our tagline is spooky, scary, artsy, fartsy.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, whose idea was it on the Twitter to talk about the Kirkland signature thing, the metalcore, whatever it was?
That's all Courtney. She's all about the Twitter. I don't touch that stuff. That's all her.
Every time I think of if we think something is shitty or like really, really low, bad quality, we call it shot. Or like, oh, it's so shot. So I think if something really shot pops in my head, so like I always say that something like, we are the Dippin' Dots of metalcore. We are the Kirkland. What do I say? That we are the PT Cruiser of metalcore.
Yeah, PT Cruiser. That's a good one.
You know, just things that are shot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, so that's me. It's my one. If it pops into my head, I love Twitter because you can just. It's so much more non-committal than doing a Facebook status.
Right. And like I said before, you guys are kind of, yeah, you guys are cryptic though, in a way where you're like, what the hell is going on with these guys? Like, what are they doing? And then we finally got that update that you guys were in LA. I was like, oh, things are happening now.
Yeah. You know what? We have a really weird split personality in this band where we don't post a lot of like permanent stuff that's like super update stuff, but if you follow us and you see us like go live on Instagram or YouTube or something,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we are like the band of TMI, like of too much information, and we're just
yeah.
Like our manager is like, I can never bear to watch your live streams because you just say the stupidest stuff on there, like the most ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's kind of where we feel. I guess we feel more comfortable on there being ourselves because it's more like having a conversation rather than us having to write out some big Facebook status about it. Yeah.
Well, and
I think we're more comfortable doing that. Safer.
Right. No, I get that. And you guys have been through the ringer with different projects, so you kind of already have seen like what works and what doesn't, because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the internet's really not like a really happy place for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah.
That's how we know. All 38 of our followers let us know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other side of it too is we do have a lot happening. It's just, we never want to sit there and do the whole typical, like, big things coming soon.
Right.
Like, we would much rather
make fun of that.
Yeah, we would, you know, we would much rather just kind of, you know, throw some pictures out there, or, you know, if something happens with, you know, we get new merch or something. And then, you know, I would rather let whatever happens actually do the talking, as opposed to talking about it for too long.
Right.
So yeah, that's why there's kind of some gaps in between us working on stuff. But yeah, we were just in LA doing a couple new songs. So
okay,
we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
When will they come out? Who knows?
Ah,
we want to put them out really soon. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, the longer, because we love them, but at the same time, you know, they were like, well, we don't want to rush it. Like, the longer we develop, like, music video ideas and production on the song and all the different versions of the mix, the longer we spend doing that, probably the better the final product would be. But it's so hard to do that, because we just want to dump the song out and let everyone hear it.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and there's no rush, there's no timetable, because, I mean, it's like us as fans would rather hear something that's prim and polished than just throwing something out to throw it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, we dig that.
Eventually, we were wanting to put it out this year, but I think we got a little too ahead of ourselves.
Right.
We were just talking. We're like, wait a second. How are we all going to figure out how to, like, take time off work, mm-hmm. fly some people out here, and pay for a music video, and then get them to edit it, and blah, blah, blah. Like, we're crazy. I don't think we can put anything out this year, but there's still that glimmer of hope. We really want to.
For sure. And you know, and it's cool because you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you guys if this was a full-time gig or not. Are you guys comfortable telling me what you guys do for a living other than this?
Yeah, me and Courtney actually both have the same job. We work at a hospital, and we do like data entry, like payroll stuff.
Okay.
The nurses get paid like overtime and
nice. Yeah, we basically, it's funny that you mentioned, like, if we're comfortable doing that, because I feel like even with this band, we've been on our live streams and stuff, we have people ask us all the time, and we're totally fine with,
okay,
like, sharing anything.
Cool.
Like, we basically have these jobs because, because it's like a technically what's called like a casual position, it allows you to kind of go back and forth and leave without having to worry about losing your job whatsoever. Like, so, you know, once, with Spirit Box being our main hustle, and then, you know, us working a few days a week, we're just hoping that it gets to the point where we're going to be traveling too much to have to work with touring and everything. So,
right.
But yeah, that's basically how, you know, we make our money right now.
It would be a dream to not have to work at that job. And our job's like very mindless and like a little bit soul sucking. It's just like a desk job, you know, like you're a little pencil pusher.
Yeah.
But no, it's a perfect job for someone who's a musician who's just starting out and needs to have a good source of income and like a something that they can rely on to come back. You know, that's always a revolving door when people are hustling and grinding and going on tour. It's always just this cycle, which I'm sure you guys have been in the cycle where you go on tours, you have to quit your job, and then you get home and you get another job at a bar or something, and then you get another tour and you quit, and then it's a cycle just over and over. I think Michael, I don't even know how many jobs you've had, Michael. You've probably had like 30 jobs when you were a kid.
Something like that.
Because every time you go on tour, you have to quit a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is perfect for us, just because it's going to be a little while till we are living our dream of not having to work a normal guy job anymore.
Oh.
And I'm sure it's the same for you. Like, you know, you always have that dream, like up the hill, like soon we'll get to that, and I can just do podcasting
for sure.
That's my job.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we always talk about that.
Eventually we'll get there.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, we did the local band thing for a while, and then kind of that fizzled out, and then we sold our souls and had kids, and now we're getting older, and now we're doing this, and Ivan, he's a diesel mechanic, right? Did I say that right? That's okay. Jake, he works at a automobile plant. Not like planting automobiles, though, because that's impossible.
Talk about soul sucking.
Yeah, he said talk about soul sucking.
That's not
yeah,
a real thing.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah, right. And I work in
tarnation.
Right. And I work in healthcare too. I work in cardiology. So.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Healthcare buddies.
Well, if you lived where we lived, you would be calling us being mad that we like messed your paycheck up.
Oh, no, I would trust you guys.
We're those guys.
I would trust you. And you know what? If you got to go. Now, here's the thing. Not to like be pushing buttons on like anybody that's older, but I feel the older generation, they kind of snap at you and don't like go through the process of emotions, you know? Where like, oh my God, you messed it up.
Right.
Where people in the service industry, they're the ones always screaming at the people. Whereas the younger generation, we're like, I'd be like, hey, Michael, I'm missing like $10. No, it's cool. You know what? Actually, I'm sorry for bothering you.
Yeah,
man.
But if you fuck up somebody's heart, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
that is.
I think we're all more empathetic.
Yeah.
To that stuff.
No, that makes sense.
Because the older generation, they just like went to school and then got a job right away and then just like worked that job for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Where we all had to like bust our asses at McDonald's for a lot longer.
Oh, for sure.
You can always tell someone you can always tell when you're out to dinner with somebody who's, you can tell if never worked in the service industry right away, can't you?
Like, ain't that the truth?
Tell the way they treat.
Yep.
Yeah, you're like, you've never been a server before.
No. I was just out with a family member the other day, and I always get real nervous at those like interactions between the wait staff while you're sitting, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Hi, welcome to you know, yada yada," and they're like, four waters and an appetizer," and like, just let them talk, man.
That's my dad. That's why I don't go out to eat with my dad anymore.
Michael used to be a server for a little bit in between tours at this place in Canada. It's called Boston Pizza.
Uh huh.
And he said that they're like, "Oh my God, I can't even believe some of the stories." He's like. He said that there was people that they'd put like $5 and like I guess where we live, it's like we call them loonies and toonies, like the coin, the dollar coin. And then they would like put coins out, and then like every time that one of the servers messed something up, they would like dramatically take one away. And then, like, this is your tip.
Oh my God. Oh. That's embarrassing. That's cringe.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's the worst when you have a family member that's really bad at speaking in public. Yeah.
I've been known to
apologize.
Yeah. I always will like run to the bathroom and I'll try and catch them and I'll give them the tip. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's good of you. Yeah.
That's a good trick we need to learn.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
you can't like embarrass the family member that you're with, you know?
No.
So,
no. And heaven forbid, like God forbid, their order's slightly wrong. Oh my
no.
God. I'm like going to hyperventilate some people I know. Like if their food didn't come out and our food did, you're just like, I'm just like sweating.
Right.
It's like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, that's good.
I don't like confrontations.
No, me neither. Like I said, I'll apologize to somebody for even bringing up something that I was right about. Like, I'm sorry. Are you mad?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's like our trademark where we're from in Canada. Everyone thinks to say sorry for everything.
Yeah, no. Right. Well, give me some good Canadian tidbits. You know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a game. You're going to give me some good Canadian tidbits. And then I also want you to ask me like a stereotypical like American question, and I can solve that for you.
Well, where do you guys live? You guys sound Midwestern.
Oh no!
Oh Jesus! Pack it in,
right?
Guys. We gotta stop.
You sound like my. You sound exactly like my uncle Mike, who lives in Carmel, Indiana.
Oh my God! We're like 50 miles from Carmel, Indiana.
Yeah, uncle Mike. He's from California, but he's lived in Carmel for like 30 years, so you sound like Uncle Mike, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh
yeah,
no,
Uncle Animal.
Shout out to Uncle Mike.
Oh, he's that's listening. Too much.
Yeah,
I make fun of my wife because she says Chicago.
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 Oh yeah, our drummer in Iwabo, mm-hmm. he dated a girl from Chicago for a long time. So her family was so nice, and they'd always let us come and stay the night when we'd be in town. Mm-hmm. And that was always what Mikey would say to annoy her. He'd always go, "Oh, we're going to go get a couple of cokes and head down to Cicero. It's only going to be a couple of dollars."
Oh, it's so true, though.
Her to make her mad.
Oh, God. The stereotypes are true.
So but, you can give a... So I don't know if you have Midwestern stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, like, to kind of solve it, though, with the girlfriend issue, like, we're very, like, warm and, like, welcome. Like, if you guys were to ever play, like, out here, I'm afraid, I don't even want to say Chicago now because I'm feeling embarrassed. But, like, if you come in the city,
you know,
we'd be like, yeah, we'd host you. Like, seriously, like, we would, like, host you a, like, dinner and, like, a breakfast and, like...
Challenge up to Dave and Buster's.
Oh, yeah, we'd do Dave and Buster's, too, you know? Like, we would just make it, like, a whole thing because we're very, like, heart... felt like warming people and safe, not like the creepy Midwestern like we've got kids in our basement thing, but like normal safe, like platonic.
No, that's just how everyone is there. It's great. Everyone's so friendly
very
in the Midwest.
Nice.
Oh, but it's like you were saying, it's like what's the word, it's like a, it's not like a put on fake thing, it's like a very natural
genuine.
Like friendliness there. That's why we like going there.
Oh, for sure. Like when we do this every week, like one of us is always bringing like food or snacks or treats, you know, like something like that. Because we just let our kids run around upstairs and it sounds like a fucking earthquake. And my poor wife is watching all these kids like ransack our house to make this work, but it works, you know?
Yeah.
I want to.
What's a Canadianism, Michael?
Yeah.
Do you have one? Because I'm a fake Canadian. I've lived here for 15 years, but I'm American.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Good question.
You, what do you guys say all the time here?
We say hey at the end of every sentence.
In the West Coast, yeah, they say hey.
So you'd be like, you know, oh, that sounds pretty good, hey?
Oh.
You know, like you'll just end it with that for whatever reason. I don't know why.
They do. And it's kind of the same like cadence of talking as the Midwestern accent, which stuff like everything kind of sounds like they're asking a question. You
it's
know?
True. It's, so, yeah, everything like, has an inflection. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So you would be like, we're going to go to the store and then we're going to head down to the beach.
That's very common for sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, because of where we live, you know, we're basically... You know, we're the same as like Seattle.
Okay.
So, the more you get into like Alberta, Saskatchewan, that's when you kind of start getting the whole like, don't you know?
They sound like if Chicago people were like really drunk. That's how Western Canadians sound.
Yeah.
It's like so instead of it being up here, it's like really late. It's like, oh yeah, lazy, like,
real lazy.
It's like, oh yeah, wrong. Yeah, but
yeah, oh yeah, but that's another one. Yeah. Oh yeah, but oh yeah, yeah, that's a big Canadian thing.
Like Ivan,
and we just
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my connection. I'm sorry.
I just couldn't hear you. So.
Yeah. No,
I'm yelling in Michael's ear right now because they're getting me all excited.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm like, because I'm not trying to like cut you guys off either. But Ivan was saying like that whole Western Canadian thing is kind of like how we feel about people in Wisconsin. It's kind of like you want to get inside because you're shoveling, but that neighbor is like talking to you really long. Like, whoa, there's more snow coming. Mm-hmm. And you could smell that hot Jaeger breath. Yeah. And you're like, leave me the fuck alone, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dude. I grew up in the southern states. I grew up in Alabama. Like, if you go to the grocery store, you have to like allow an extra 30 minutes of seeing people you know and talking to them. Like, you always have to leave a buffer room in between appointments because
if you run into
someone you know, like my I'll go there with my stepmother, and by the end of us like waiting in line to check out, she will have shown the person behind her in line. She'll be like, you know, my daughter, she's a rock star. And then she'll show her my husband, our music videos, and then like everything about us. Like, this is, show her, Courtney, show her. And then they just want to talk. They're just so friendly. Like, they're so great at small talk.
Yeah, that's true.
That's funny. I don't know.
We're really bad at it.
Oh, yeah. It's just any social like interaction gets me sweaty. Like I was a little bit sweaty before we talked because like interviewing, like it's like you never know what you're gonna get because you're just so grateful to be able to talk to people that are willing to give you some of their time, but you don't want to make like the interview boring or ask the same questions, but also you don't want to seem like unprofessional either. Like, I just wouldn't have started the conversation with you guys being like, well, hey, let's talk about the differences in how we sound. You know, I want to do what I can to let other, you know, people know about what you guys are about, but you know, like how you guys say you're comfortable. I'm comfortable right now. Like, I'm really comfortable.
Good. Oh, Michael and I are friendly. We always.
Oh yeah, big time.
No, you.
That's always our joke. Like, if someone's awkward around us or not nice to us, we're like, well, they just suck.
Right. Yeah. No, you guys are firsthand. In the other project that I'm not going to name, I've ran into you guys a couple of times in Chicago. And you guys have always been super fucking nice and just always like willing to talk. Like, even like you guys were like trying to get the hell out of there, and you guys had this like little ass white van that was packed like you couldn't even fit like a single hair in there, and you guys were like leaving, and then there's all these people coming out like, oh, we'll talk. Like, it's just really like, it makes your heart swell. Like, just makes you happy to see that.
Oh,
like,
good.
You
guys
enjoy what you do.
I'm glad we made a good impression.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. I don't know. I don't want to ask this, 'cause I want to put you guys on the spot, but like, if I were to say like on a scale from 1 to 10, like 1 being absolutely no way and 10 being like, yeah, for sure, where are you going to fall on that scale of coming to Chicago anytime soon?
Ooh. Well, that's the thing. The whole touring aspect of this band is finally just now starting to see the light of day.
Okay.
We're kind of looking at 2020 and seeing what's possible. Unfortunately, none of those plans include the U.S. as of yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure the first time we do the U.S., that will be... That'll definitely be a stop, for sure.
Yeah, everyone, the promoters in the Midwest are awesome. They usually, like, there's a lot of shows that go through Joliet, which is pretty close.
That's by us! That's us! Yes! Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, the promoters there are awesome. So, but we're always going to be at the mercy of the big band that we tour with.
Right.
You know, because we're always going to be the opening band for a while.
Right.
So we're going to be at their mercy. They're going to go through the Midwest, and they usually do. So the odds that when we do, it's not so much will we play Chicago, it's like when will we tour the States? Because when we do that, we'll definitely go to Chicago.
That makes me happy. And by that point in time, if you guys don't forget us, we would like to treat you guys to Dave and Buster's when you guys come along. We'll play video games and buy you dinner, and it'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
We've never been there. That would be so awesome.
Promise me something, okay? You guys, you guys are with me. It's just us three right now, okay?
I swear.
Promise me you will not go to a Dave and Buster's until we take you. We want to be that first experience.
We want to pop your Dave and Buster's.
If we drive, our word.
Okay.
If we drive by one before we see you, we'll burn it to the ground.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Do we just become best friends?
That would be
no
it.
No one
would
gets
be
to go to the Dave and Buster's.
Yes. I know obviously you guys will have a million things to do, but we'll be obviously watching you guys because we like to lurk on everybody's socials. But if that point in time comes, I will reach out to you. I'll be like D&B. That's all I'm gonna say on your Facebook. You're gonna
text me and say it's time.
Yes, it's time.
Just, all you have to say is now is the time.
We hope so. It's one of those things where we love touring. It's like a huge part of our identity as musicians and Iwobo. Like that was our favorite part, is getting to go out on the road and play those songs for people.
Right.
But we're just trying to be like. We're just trying to do this the smart way, not like the egotistical way. Like, egotistically, I want to go out and play shows to 30 people every night.
Right.
And then, like, have my van break down and then not have to deal with my real life. Like, that's what I want, because that's what I like to do. But we have to, we're trying to be, like, more pragmatic and think, okay, well, why don't we keep building what we can without spending all our money on touring, and that way when we go and tour, there's 100 people at the show instead of 13 people at the show.
Right.
You know, so just trying to build a demand. So I think we figured it out, and I think we're trying to, our little like motto, our mantra that we say to ourselves is like, you just got to get too big to ignore.
Oh.
So you don't have to become a huge band by yourself. You just have to become big enough so that the gatekeepers can't ignore you anymore. And then they go, hey, well, we better, you know, money talks. We better get this little band on our tour and give them a chance. people right. like them. So
that's awesome.
I think we're getting really close to that. We're getting really close.
Dude, it seems like it, man. Like when I first checked out that self-titled and now just going on Spotify, for example, seeing the amount of streams that you guys have had, going on the YouTube and seeing your guys' videos with those numbers that have climbed, like, holy shit, man. I was like, good God, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's growing. It's really exciting to watch it, like to watch it from the beginning. And it's a slow growth. We haven't had any huge spike in fans or like streams or everything, but everything we put out, it's has a couple more people that join our social media and a couple more people that watch it and share it. And I think it's working. I'll always delude myself into thinking it's working anyway, because that's all we want to do.
Right.
But I do truly think, like, trying to separate just my own excitement about it, because, you know, we'd be proud of any amount of people that listen to our band. But I think it's working. Like, I'm seeing a slow little incline.
That's awesome.
You know, it's slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
That's right. Oh, God, that's such an old school saying, but it's true, though.
Yeah. But it's cool that you guys, you know, stumbled upon us and checked us out, you know?
Oh, like, for sure.
See, that's why that's another reason we want to tour so much, is, like, getting to go to the cities and those of you that we've gotten to just talk to online or talk to on podcasts, like, to actually meet all the nice people that support us.
We get to meet you in person. And
yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
We've met a couple people when we've gone to, like, to LA and stuff, and we've, like, scared them, right, Michael? because they think that they are going to annoy us by coming up to us, but by the end of the conversation, like, we won't leave them alone, because we just can't believe that some random dude in LA knows who our band is.
Right. No.
You know, do you know where Dave and Buster's is?
By the end of the convo, they're like, all right, I gotta go.
Right. No, that's too much.
Please don't leave.
Well, because you feel bad. You know what
I
mean?
Take a picture with you.
Right. Because you don't want, I mean, you don't know what you got going on. Like, we all heard the song where Eminem was trying to eat and feed his daughter. You know what I mean? We don't want to annoy anybody, but
yeah.
No, but that's cool though, man. No, it's absolutely fantastic. I don't even know. Like, on how you said we stumbled upon you guys. Okay, I'm just going to clear the air. I fucking lurked on you guys, okay? Because I was a super huge fan of the band that shall not be named. And I was like, okay.
They're not Voldemort. It's okay.
I want to say it, because it's not about that. That's the past, okay? As I'm looking at the posters that are on my fucking wall as we're walking down in my basement, because I got it signed when I got the pre-order. But,
yay!
Yeah, which is really weird too, because I went to go see Suicide Silence like 2 years ago, and I was wearing one of those band's shirts, and Eddie was out having a beer, and he goes, "Holy shit, man, you like them too?" And I was like, "Hey, I do. You're on one of those songs, aren't you?" And he was just really goofy and funny, but it was cool that he was like, "Hey, I know that band too," because obviously he knows you, he knew them, you know.
Yeah, I know. Usually it's like I Wrestled a Bear Went shirts are, that's always our joke in the band, where we'd always be like, any of the other bands on tour, we'd be like, "Hey, do you want a free I Wrestled a Bear Went shirt?" Because that was always the joke, that like no one wanted to wear our merch. You're like, "That's okay, man. I have plenty of shirts."
Oh, can I say something? And I'll edit this out, obviously, if you know, whatever. But I just do want to say that Courtney, you're a pretty good comedic genius. You like to you have very quick response times, okay? I saw you guys at one of the All-Star tours out in Chicago. And somebody said, "Hey, are any of you guys going to have a baby?" And quickly you looked at the crowd and go, "Babies? We don't have babies anymore in this band." And I thought that was like the funniest thing I've ever seen at a show. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I remember that. Actually.
Oh my God. There's so many. Honestly though, the reason it's like I appear good at that, but it's because people say the same lame things over
right.
and over to us all the time.
Right.
The first time I heard it, and then like the fifth time I heard it, I didn't know what to say, but I've heard it so much, all those things. That
right.
I'm really quick on my feet about it, because that's like my talking point.
Oh my God. It was just so good. Because like, everybody in that crowd was probably like between the ages like of 14 and 17 to 18, and at the time I was pushing like 30, And I was like, I don't want to like hurt anybody up in this pit, and then I'm going to be like on the news and stuff. And so I'm just going to stand back here. I was like a parent. I was like the chaperone at that show. I fucking left work. I said that I had a family emergency. I fucking lurked on that All-Star page to find your guys' set time. I left the hospital that I was at to see your guys' set and then came back and finished my day. They're like, oh, how is everybody? I'm like, oh, we're good. I had like two shirts in my back pocket.
Oh, yeah, you got that LOA.
Yeah.
We would have booked you off for your LOA, your compassionate leave, by code 522. We would have hooked you up.
Nah, man, so I just need to head up north, man. That's all it is to it. Well, guys, I'm going to leave. We always
all your paperwork.
Fuck yeah. We always end our interviews on a kind of a question that I hope that you guys don't hear as often. But to close this interview, I want to ask you, what is your advice on mosh pit etiquette? What would you tell the fans at your shows?
You know what? I would say if you feel someone's arm pressed up against your back, if you're moving around, just don't. That's not a signal to then run into them. It's a signal to walk away from them or get as far away from them as possible. And it's not crowd kill, because that is lame as fuck.
Yes, it is.
And I say, hey, you know, we're all old here. Like, I know that you've had a long week at work, and this is like your one time to feel like you're 15 again. But just watch the show. This night isn't really about you and your cool dance moves. just stand there. Like, you can work out after the show.
That's true. It's way too much testosterone.
But I say that then. I say that as when I'm in the audience. But then when I'm on stage and there's all these, like, big beef dudes just, like, jumping around, like, living their, they're just having the best time, just punching the air. I'm just like, this is so cool.
Right? Especially in Chicago, we bring the beef, man. We really do.
So many beefy ball guys and, like, shirts that say, like, honor and glory on the back of them.
And there's many X's on those shirts.
Oh, my God. Too many. Yeah. Too many. But then you see some of those guys at the bar. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
They're like, oh, those X's are cool. X marks the spot. What that is. So I have a love-hate relationship with the moshers. I hate them when I'm in the mosh pit, and then I love them when I'm on the stage.
Right. I got you. Different points of view.
Yeah. Yeah. So, awesome. So overall, I guess Michael's advice was perfect.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for your time. We've taken up so much time anyway. I'm not going to keep rambling here. Dude, seriously, I love you guys. You guys have been like the most fun interview I think we've had on this show. So
if only we could talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you so much.
We got to get them back on again sometime when everything's
working.
Well,
maybe we can, when we come to Chicago someday, you guys can come to the show and we can do like in real life one.
Yeah.
Why would you interview at Dave and Buster's?
Oh, yes. That's smart. And you'll get to actually talk to Michael, Jake and Ivan too. Right? Our equipment will be working.
We can all hang out together.
Yes. No, seriously though. I'll hold you guys to that. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
We'd love that.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
Oh,
no problem, guys. Like I said, we'll post this everywhere. We'll tag you and we'll just keep lurking and watching you guys and we'll reach out soon. Okay.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Love you guys.
Good night.
You too.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.